Amen. Amen. So here we go. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. What an exciting day this has been. And it will continue to be exciting. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 1, I want to read to you a portion of the word of the Lord that Brother Copeland gave about 2020. 2020 will be a year of new visions. It will be a year of great change. Wonderful and magnificent changes in the kingdom of God in the earth. Changes that will come because of insights, ideas, concepts directly from Jesus to His church by His mighty Spirit. Glorious concepts of how His laws work. The laws governing increase and financial prosperity. The laws of the Spirit that release miracles and divine healings and manifestations of His almighty power on the earth. New concepts of His love, His very person, for He is love. Insights into the true power and the strength of His joy. These are these things that we're going to be receiving and walking in this year. And what I want to touch upon today in this service that we have, I want to go back to this statement that He made there, that the Lord made about the new concepts of His love, His very person, for He is love. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, an upright man, a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah 7:14, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. This title Emmanuel was applied to the Messiah because Jesus was God united with man, brought together with man. It showed that God was dwelling with man. That Jesus coming to earth was a perfect reflection of the Father God in a human body. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll walk through this together today. Hebrews 1. I'm going to start at verse 1 over here. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, verse 2, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, which He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the hand of majesty on high. And so being made so much better than the angels, He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Look back at verse 3 with me. This one line that I wanted to look at was, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Jesus was the express image of the Father God. In the Amplified translation, it says he was the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, the very image of his nature. In the New Living Translation, it says the Son reflects God's own glory and everything about him represents God exactly. When people saw Jesus in the earth, they were seeing God. They were seeing God manifested in flesh. Turn quickly over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look down at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the New Living Translation of that says this. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. This being that came out of the heart of the Father to the earth, He made His home among us. And He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, we're going to see something here about the love of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is this love that when Jesus was born into the earth, there was the demonstration of the love of God on the earth, which they'd never seen before. They'd never seen the likes of a person like this before. And in 1 John chapter 4, and starting with verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Say it with me. God is love. Say it again. God is love. The word God and the word love are interchangeable words. They're interchangeable words. God with us, Emmanuel, can be interpreted love with us. That's exactly what happened. And I remember when I first heard the revelation of the word God connected to the word love. When you begin to read your Bible and you read scriptures, and everywhere in your Bible you see the word God, you can put the word love there. You can place that word and it'll give it a whole different meaning. Because God is love. God is love. He is love. And God's love was revealed to us through Jesus. God's love was revealed to us through Jesus. So those two words are interchangeable. God is love. He is love. Let me read this scripture to you from John 1 again. John 1 verses 17 and 18. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. Or you could really say there, no one has ever seen love. But the unique one, who is himself God, or who is himself love, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Or you can say there, He has revealed love to us. See, what we're talking about here are new concepts of the love of God. Things that we have not seen before. Things that we have not experienced before. Where His love is concerned and what He wants to do for us, what He wants to do through us, what He wants to do in us. And I really believe that this word that Brother Copeland received from the Lord, talking about these various laws that we need to be looking at, I'm telling you, one of the greatest here is understanding the love of God, to understand His person, for God is love. My Father loves me. He loves me. He loves you. He loves you with every fiber of His being. And as we've talked about the love of God before, we talked about this encounter that I had with love some 20 years ago. When the Lord had me just lay in bed one morning for an hour and just meditate on, my Father loves me. My Father loves me. My Father loves me. And it was there when He spoke to my heart and He said, there's not one more thing that you can do to make me love you any more than I love you right now. I love you with the fullness of my love. We're not waiting until we get to heaven to experience the fullness of the love of God. We can open our hearts and receive the fullness of the love of God in every way, shape, form, and manner. We can receive His love, and in receiving His love, we're receiving everything that He is. We're receiving His healing. We're receiving His prosperity. We're receiving His deliverance. We're receiving the success that belongs to us through Christ Jesus. That is the love of God, and we have to believe the love and receive that love. Say, I receive the love of God.
I receive the love of God.
In a fresh way.
In a new way.
In a way I've never seen before. Oh my goodness. God is love. He is love. And when He sent Jesus into the earth, as it says in the New Living Translation, He has revealed love to us. God's love entered the earth the day that Jesus was born. Those people were witnessing and seeing pure love. Pure love. Jesus was demonstrating that. He was demonstrating the pure love of God flowing through a human body. That love that is so powerful, so overwhelming. We see Him manifest this God kind of love, the God kind of love. And that word in the Greek is? It's agape, the agape love of God. The agape love of God is a love that confers value on another. That's what the agape love of God is. It is a love that sees value in someone in the same way that God saw us and He saw value. He saw value in us before we were born again. I'm thinking about the scripture right now in the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is, yeah. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. The Amplified Bible there says, in order to satisfy His great, wonderful, and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Well, that took place. He was rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins. He loved us even when we were dead in our sins. That is stunning. That is an absolutely stunning thing that we see in the development of our understanding of the love of God. He wants us to see this. I'll turn back here to Ephesians. He wants us to see this, the multi-dimensional love of the Father. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is praying here in verse 14. He says, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The family, that's love. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. We must be rooted and grounded in this love, in this agape, in this understanding of how he sees us and how he views us, that we may be able to comprehend with all of the saints. Now, here are the four dimensions of the love of God: the breadth of the love of God, the length of the love of God, the depth of the love of God, the height of the love of God, and to know the love of the Anointed One and his anointing, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, or we could be filled with the fullness of love. The fullness of love. Again, we don't have to wait until heaven to experience the fullness of the love of God. And Jesus came to earth. People encountered the pure love of God when they encountered Jesus. Face to face. Face to face with the pure love of God. We see him manifest this God kind of love everywhere he went, with every person that he talked to. He was operating in the love of the Father always. Always. He never stepped out of that. He never stepped out of the love of God. Even when he was turning over the tables of the money changers, he was still operating in the love of God, because they were preventing people from getting into the inner place where they could have that fellowship with the Father. So he walked in that place of love all the time. All the time. This new kind of love. And that's what E.W. Kenyon calls it, the new kind of love. This new kind of love impacted every life he touched, whether healing the sick, forgiving the sinner, or raising the dead. Children were drawn to him like a magnet. Children were around him all the time. He had to correct his disciples when they tried to get the children to get away from him. Do not forbid them to come to me. You let them come to me. And they were attracted to him. What were they attracted to? They were attracted to the love of God that was on the inside of him. The brokenhearted, they found compassion and understanding in his presence. There was so much that he did, so much that demonstrated the love of God. So many things that were in him that were demonstrating the love of God. In Matthew 9:36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Compassion. Compassion is a deep inner yearning to meet the needs of others. It is love in action. The love of God in action. He said in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus' words, his actions, his thoughts, and his responses were motivated by the Father's love. Every word he said, every action, every thought, every response to every situation was motivated by the Father's love. It was coming out of that place of the love of God. So with this in mind, our words, our actions, our thoughts, and our responses should also be motivated by the Father's love. So we're talking about the development of that love. That we aspire to make love our aim, and to make the love of God our quest, and to live in our homes with each other, to live with our families, those people that work with us on the job, to be demonstrators of the love of the Father, And really, that's what Jesus did. Love was born in the earth when Jesus came. And every thought, every word, every action that he took came out of that place of the love of God. Our words, our actions, our thoughts, our responses should also be motivated by the Father's love. If you're still back there over in 1 John, I want you to take a look at something. 1 John chapter 4, 16 and 17. 1 John 4, 16 and 17. Let me read it to you in the King James first, and then I'll go to the Amplified. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now the Amplified Bible says this: God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. So it's starting off here by saying God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. It is a process. The development of the love of God in our lives is a process that we walk out. That we should, in this walk that we have, begin to increase more and more and more in the love of God. And that the older we get, the more hardened we shouldn't become. But the older we get, the softer we should become. The lighter we should become. The more loving we should become to be as demonstrators of the love of the Father. So God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. You and I are to aspire to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that should be our greatest goal that we have in our lives, is to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be conformed into his image is to be conformed into the highest place that he lives in, and that is the love of God. That is the Father's love. That Jesus, because as he is, so are we in this world. That image is the love of God. And that's what we aspire to. And that's what we look towards. Some years ago, I was doing a study. I was doing this study. And I have a lot of messages through the years that I preached about the love of God. I was looking back through them just yesterday. And just seeing the things that the Lord has shown me over the years about his love for us, how we love one another, how we are to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the earth to show us, to demonstrate to us how love operates. He left us with that. He gave that to us. And so I was meditating on this, and I was just meditating, and this was years ago, I was meditating on the words, God is love. God is love. And all of a sudden, I heard this down on the inside of me. I said, God is love. And I heard this come up and out of me, and so are we. God is love, and so are we. God is love, and so am I. So am I. You and I have the spiritual capacity to walk and live in the very same dimension of love that Jesus walked in on the earth. God is love, and so are we. You know, Brother Copeland gave a word not too long ago. This was back in August. And it was right here in a church service. And he was talking about several of the things that the Lord was talking to us about, taking the high ground. It was the same day that the Lord spoke to him about we are faith specialists. We're healing specialists. But then there's a portion of this that I want to read to you that talks about the love flow. The love flow. I was standing up here right beside him as he was giving this word, and he said, we've taken the high ground, George. We've taken the high ground, and we're in the most precious place we've ever been in our ministry life. How many of you remember when he said that? We're talking about faith specialists. How many of you were here when that happened? I just tell you, I was standing up here next to him, and when he said that to me, when he said to me, but we've taken the high ground, George, it was as if the entire sanctuary emptied out, and it was just the three of us, Kenneth, George, and God. It was that impactful. It was so moving on me when he was saying it. He said, we've taken the high ground and we're in the most precious place that we've ever been in our ministry life. It's a place of not only honor and glory and joy, but it's a place unto which we've been called. And the Master himself has called us up to this place. Now we take advantage of this place over the enemy. And we become a lighthouse from on high, a lighthouse of the love of God, building a place where love is king, where people can come and physically and emotionally feel the love of God when they step onto this property. Now, this word about the word of the Lord, love is king. The Lord spoke that to Brother Copeland back in the 70s. He said to him, I want you to establish a place where love is king. And that's what we've talked about with our church before. Eagle Mountain International Church, a place where love is king. Love rules. Love directs. Love dominates. Love shows us the way and reveals to us. And there's an atmosphere of the love of God. There really is an atmosphere that the love of God creates. If you've been around someone who is most loving, most kind, there's just something about an individual like that. Justice Duplessis was one of those individuals. Some of you are familiar with that name, some are not. I know that you are, Mary Lou. You're very familiar with that name. And Justice Duplessis came here, the first time he came here, I was CEO the first time and pastor. This was back in the 90s. And they called me from the dining room and they said, there's a gentleman here named Justice Duplessis. He's from South Africa. He's working with us on a book about John G. Lake. Would you like to come down and have lunch with us and meet him? And the CEO rose up at me and said, no, I'm too busy. I've got things that I'm doing up here. You go ahead and take care of him. He said, well, he in South Africa was a pastor and he interpreted for Smith Wigglesworth. I made a beeline to the dining room to meet Justice Duplessis. And what a man of God. He was the brother of David Duplessis, the father of modern day Pentecost. And Justice Duplessis, what a background. What a history of his life. His father, what a testimony of his father. His father was in bed dying. And the doctor came to check on him. And he said, he's not going to live through the night. And so what the doctor did was he wrote out his death certificate before he died. He didn't want to be bothered with it the next day because he knew that the man was going to die. And so he went ahead and he wrote out his death certificate. Can you imagine that? He's not even dead yet, but for the sake of convenience, I'll just go ahead and write out his death certificate right now. So the doctor did that. They left, and his father's wife, Justice Duplessis' mother, called for the elders of the church. And the elders of the church came and surrounded the elder, Mr. Duplessis, anointed him with oil, prayed over him, and he was raised up, healed and whole. He got up the next morning. He took a shower, ate his breakfast, got on his bicycle, and rode to the doctor's office and handed back his death certificate. Wow. I remember when Justice Duplessis, it was the second trip, I believe, that he came here. And what a time we had with him. What a time that we had with him. I've got to go back and find this in our archives, but I interviewed him down at our studio, and we spent probably an hour and a half interview with Justice Duplessis. And I remember when we got through with that interview, and what a presence. What a presence in their absence. What is it? My friends are safe with me even in their absence. My friends are safe with me even in their absence. That was on his calling card. And what a lovely man. I remember when we did that, you just loved listening to him. He was so full of the love of God. So overwhelming with the love of God. To talk to him, to visit with him. I remember that during that trip, he was not feeling well. He was dealing with flu-like symptoms. And I remember Pastor Terry and I went down to the Worthington Hotel here in Fort Worth to visit him, to go pray for him. And I remember he's laying there in the bed, and he says, go over there and bring that vial over to me. So this tube, it looked like a tube, and it was filled with oil. He said, look at the end of it. And I looked at the end of it, and inscribed on the end of it was Wigglesworth, Bransford. Smith Wigglesworth had those made and gave one to Justice Duplessis. So he taught me how to anoint Justice Duplessis with oil in the same way that Smith Wigglesworth would do it. And he took the vial and he said, what he would do is he would say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we got to pray over Justice Duplessis the same way that Smith Wigglesworth prayed over people with the same vial of oil. And then Pastor Terry got a word from the Lord. We should order some soup. And Justice Duplessis said, that is a word from the Lord to order some soup. What a lovely man. Well, when we did that interview, after we finished the interview, a group of us met with him on a side room down in the studio, and he just began to talk to us, and the women that were in there began to weep. It happens when he walks in the room. People just begin to weep. Yeah. Pastor Terry.
We were in the back room just watching and praying while you were doing the interview. And when he walked in, we stood up, and the presence of the love of God came over all of us, and we just broke out weeping.
Yes.
Because of the love of God. Without him saying a word, he just walked in the room. He carried such a place in love.
What a place. What a place. And you just enjoyed listening to him. Because everything that was coming up and out of him was coming from the place of the Father's love. Words. Words of love. One of the things that he told me, he said, back then I had a beard. He called me the bearded pastor. And one of the things that he told me, I asked him, I said, what things that you do back in the 30s and the 40s when you were pastoring that we're not doing anymore? He answered me right away. He said, pastors aren't telling their congregations enough how much they love them. They're not expressing that to them. And then he said this, a pastor without love is a butcher. Wow. Wow. So let me tell you right now, I love you. I really do. I do. I love what I do. And I so enjoy coming in here because I thought about this morning and I thought if I have the opportunity, I'm going to tell them, I enjoy your company. I really do. I have a blast with you. This is a lot of fun to me. This is a joy to be able to do this. And to pray for you and to pray for your families and to pray for the things that are going on in your life, the things that are important to you. And I think about Justice Duplessis and the love that welled up from him over to his congregation. And I sure want that. I want that from me. I want that from my pastoral staff, that we're truly a place where the love of God is king. And Justice Duplessis, he was so filled and overflowing with the love of God. The love of God. I remember he came in to the chapel one day. It was for one of our, I believe it was our prayer school. And he was late coming in and we all wondered what was going on. What happened to him? Well, he had come in and I was back in this little side speaker's room with him. And he said, I've been awake all night. He said, I've had an encounter with the Lord. And he's talked to me about this church. I need to bring that word in. I still have that word that he gave us. This is 1998. And a word for the church. But he said one of the things that the Lord told him, that the love of God in this church and amongst this congregation would increase tenfold. And I'm pulling on that word right now. That the love of God would increase tenfold on the congregation of Eagle Mountain International Church, on the Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and at Kenneth Copeland Ministries worldwide. The love of God is increasing tenfold amongst us. In 2020, the love of God is increasing tenfold amongst us. And people will see it. They will see it. We become a lighthouse from on high, a lighthouse of the love of God, building a place where love is king. Where people can come and physically and emotionally feel the love of God when they step onto this property. I so desire that. I so desire that. You know, I really do believe we being in the last days, in this great move of God, that we're seeing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I really do believe that the greatest sign that we're going to see is the outpouring of love. Because out of love comes everything else. Healing comes out of love. Jesus did miracles in his ministry because of the love of God that was in him. Compassion. Compassion. They will feel the love of God when they step onto this property. If people were to come onto the property with strife, strife would melt away. It would be like days of heaven on the earth. And I believe that. With all of my heart, I believe that it's the unity of our faith that will get the results that we need. And I believe that strife has no place, no place in this church, no place in the school, no place in the ministry. I believe that there's a cleansing taking place right now by the blood of Jesus. A cleansing of all strife, a washing away of anything that would endeavor to come in and cause division in this place. I believe it's being washed away. Anything that's trying to cause division in our families is being washed away by the love of Jesus Himself. It's being washed away. Washed away. For this is the revival capital of the world. This is the revival capital of the world. It was in 1970 when Brother Copeland was flying home from a meeting and he heard over his radio the words, "Coming to you from the revival capital of the world." And he wondered to himself, is this on an AM band? I don't listen to the radio. But that voice, coming to you from the revival capital of the world. He thought about Washington, D.C., the political capital of the world. Hollywood, the entertainment capital of the world. But where was the revival capital of the world? And he didn't hear a thing. Until 1973. When a friend of his saw this property which had been abandoned and brought him out here. And the studio that we have down here, just down the hill, the Victory Studios, right past that, there was a little barbed wire fence. And his friend brought Kenneth and Gloria out to this property. And Kenneth opened up that barbed wire fence and stepped through. And the moment he stepped through, he heard the voice of the Lord. This is the revival capital of the world, and you are going to build it. Wow. And he said it again in this world, for this is the revival capital of the world. It is a place where love is flowing like melted snow coming from the top of a tall mountain and flowing down each side like molten river of hot love. I receive that for us. This is the revival capital of the world, and it is a place where love is flowing like melted snow. And it's coming from the top of a tall mountain and flowing down each side like a molten river of hot love. And it's flowing into the lives of people. It's flowing throughout the whole area around us. It's flowing into other churches in this area. It is flowing in through the city of Fort Worth. And we will know and we will understand more and more and more about this in the future. For the best is yet to come. But it's coming more rapidly than it ever has in our history. Glory be to God for it. We've climbed Mount Nebo and we're looking at the promised land. Wow. 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 But do you see the connection between the love of God and the revival capital of the world? How important that is. How important it is that we walk in a place of unity and love with each other. How important it is that we walk in that place where there is no strife. There is none whatsoever. That we would be as described in the 133rd Psalm, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In our unity, in our love, we find the blessing. The outpouring of the blessing of the Lord. And the manifestation of the things that we're desiring to see, to have happen in our love, life. God is love, and so am I. Pastor George, that's a bold statement to make. No, that's a true statement. That's a true statement. God is love, and so are we. As I said before, we have the same capacity as Jesus. The Father loves us in the same way He loves Jesus. The very same way. He does not love you any less than He loves Jesus. And so we have a spiritual capacity. But that capacity, as we said, has to be developed. But even in John 15, 12, love one another as I have loved you. You can't get more simple than that. Love one another in the same way that I have loved you. And we've been equipped with this love. Turn to this last scripture, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold, in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope of His appearance in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. First of all, He's talking about, behold the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us. I receive it. I receive it. I receive that love. That we should be called the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Men, say this, I am a son of God. Women, say this, I'm a daughter of God. Women, I am His daughter. Men, I am His son. And He loves us. Wow. The love that He loves us with. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. What shall we be like? Love. For we shall see Him as He is. The New Living Translation says, see how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. The Passion Translation, look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that He's lavished upon us. He has called us and made us His very own beloved children. God is love, and so are we. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 21, it says, we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we submit ourselves one to another. Husbands, we submit to our wives. Wives, you submit to your husband. Pastor Terry and I are submitted to each other. I listen to her. She listens to me. And I recognize when she has a better idea. That took some development. It does for just about every man. To hear the female voice of the Holy Spirit coming through your wife. But that's the love that we have for each other. That's the demonstration of the love that we have for each other. That we are submitted to each other. We may both have an idea. and I'll submit my idea and she submits hers. And I can just tell. I can tell when it's better. It's better. That's most all of the time. It's better. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. The head is the stabilizer to bring stability into the household. And this, what is being described here, this is the love of God. This is the love of God in operation in a family, in a marriage. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. But then we see here, husbands, agape your wives. Agape your wives. Love your wives. I told you earlier that one of the definitions of agape is it is a love that confers value. And it is a love that brings out the best. Brings out the very best that's on the inside of her. As a man being married for all of these years, I have made a study of my wife. I study her. I listen to her. I've learned some things, but I've done it out of love. I endeavor to pay attention when she's talking to me and not be on my phone. And a low rumble went throughout the congregation. That's love. Love is paying attention when somebody else is talking. That's love. And listening. Listening. There have been times when Terry has said to me, "Are you listening to me?" Because my mind is wandering. It's going someplace else. Into my happy place. Are you listening to me? And I don't know why she didn't buy the excuse when I said, "Terry, I was in the spirit." That didn't work. So I'm paying attention to what she's saying. She's paying attention to what I say. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Practice this at home. Do this at home. Husbands, love your wives. Even as, oh my goodness, in the same way that Christ loves the church. Wow. Do we have some study to do? Husbands, love your wives in the same way that Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Here's something very simple, men, in loving your wife. What does she like? What does she enjoy doing? If you go shopping with her, well, first of all, if you don't, you need to. I tell Pastor Terry, I will stay with you on this one. Just feed me. All I need is some food. That's all. I just need some food. Feed me. And we will continue on this journey together throughout Dillard's. But find out. What is it that she likes? What is it that she enjoys? What does she enjoy doing? Find out about it. So what if she likes opera? Take her to the opera. and try not to fall asleep. That's loving. That is loving our families. That is loving our wives. Where your children is concerned, are you listening to them? Are you watching them? Are you studying them? Do you study your children? And I know that we've got lots of ages represented here where children are concerned. But I tried my best when my kids were growing up. Terry did the same thing, paying very close attention. When they bring you something that they've colored, scribbled on a piece of paper, don't make light of it. That's important. That's something that they have created. Don't brush them off. Engage. Engage in conversation with them. There's a little 3-year-old that came through the back hall last Sunday. I stopped, got on my knees. We had quite a discussion. Because she was walking down I don't think it was her mother, it was somebody that was taking her to a class. And when I turned around and I saw her, I spotted her, and I turned around and looked at her, and she went, "It's Pastor George." You think I'm going to pass up an opportunity to talk to her? I got down on my knees. I said, "Where's my hug?" Boy, did I get a hug. And we talked. We talked on whatever level you can between a 66-year-old and a 3-year-old. We communicated with each other. I thought her shoes were really cute, and I liked the little coat that she had on. That's what love does, though. Love engages. I'm so glad God talks to us. I'm so glad that when you go before him in the throne room, he's not sitting there going... So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. That word nourish there, wrote this down in my Bible one time, tenderly care for and protect. That's what nourishment is. Tenderly care for and protect, even as the Lord does the church. I believe I wrote this down. I'm trying to read what that first word I wrote was, but in the Message translation, anyway, that second word is pamper. So evidently there's pampering. Pamper. Do you know what I'm talking about? Pamper? Is that to pamper your wife? Look it up. Anyway, for we are members of his body. Well, how do you pamper your wife? Well, you can buy her, okay, if you got little kids, buy her a spa package and tell her on Saturday, I will watch the kids all day. That's your day. Shop. Go to the spa, and I will take care of the children. I still have it. I still got it. I'm telling you, I still got it. Because it was last Saturday that Terry and Aubrey were going to spend some time together, and I took a 2-year-old to Chuck E. Cheese. I still got it. I bought a 1-hour card, if you're familiar. They don't have tokens anymore. I don't know if you knew that. They don't have tokens anymore at Chuck E. Cheese. They've got, it's on a card and you swipe. I bought one solid hour. And I mean, we were running from this. She was swiping everything in sight. Whatever she wanted, Poppy was there to do it. But what it did, I did that. That was an act of love to do that for my wife and my daughter, for them to be able to spend time together. Is any of this making sense? I'll finish up. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. I just remember Brother Copeland talking about, didn't he talk to us about picking up your underwear? Yeah, he did. He sure did. Really? Pick up after yourself. I'm kind of getting on the guys.
Yeah, all right, go for it, Pastor.
Pick up after yourself. Clean the kitchen. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I want you to stand up with me right now. And one of the ways that we develop this love, I am so thankful of what the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul. The Lord gave to the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Love. And I was going through some of my notes yesterday about this, and I thought, you know, I need to do this. I took 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 from the Amplified Translation, and I made it into a love confession, which I'd done some years ago. And I just believe one of the ways that you activate the love of God is you begin to declare it. You begin to say it. I walk in the love of God. I'm walking in the love of God. So let's say this. Say this after me. Because God's love is in me,
I endure long.
I am patient and kind.
I am never envious.
Nor do I boil over with jealousy.
I am not boastful
or vainglorious.
I do not display myself haughtily.
I am not conceited,
arrogant,
or inflated with pride.
I am not rude
or unmannerly.
I do not act unbecomingly.
God's love in me
does not insist
on its own rights
or its own way.
I am not self-seeking.
I am not touchy.
I am not touchy.
I am not touchy.
I am not touchy.
Fretful
or resentful.
I take no account
of evil done to me.
I pay no attention
to a suffered wrong.
I do not rejoice at injustice
and unrighteousness.
I do rejoice
when right and truth prevail.
I bear up under anything
and everything
that comes.
I am always ready
to believe the best of every person.
My hopes are fadeless
under all circumstances.
I endure everything without weakening.
The love of God in me
never fails
or comes to an end.
God is love,
and so are we.
Come on, lift your hands and give glory to the Father right now.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.